musician Maskil, a psalm of David, when Doeg the Edomite came and told Saul and said unto him, David is come into the house of Ahimelech. Why boastest thou thyself in mischief, O mighty man? The goodness of God endureth continually. Thy tongue deviseth mischiefs, like a sharp razor, working deceitfully. Thou lovest evil more than good, and lying rather than to speak righteousness. Selah. Thou lovest all devouring words, O thou deceitful tongue. God shall likewise destroy thee forever. He shall take thee away and pluck thee out of thy dwelling place and root thee out of the land of the living. Selah. The righteous also shall see and fear and shall laugh at him. Lo, this is the man that made not God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and strengthened himself in his wickedness. But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in thy mercy, or in the mercy of God, forever and ever. I will praise thee forever, because thou hast done it, and I will wait on thy name, for it is good before thy saints. Psalm 53, to the chief musician upon Mahalat, Maskil, a psalm of David. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Corrupt are they, and have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good. God looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand, that did seek God. Every one of them is gone back. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Have the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread? They have not called upon God. There were they in great fear, where no fear was, for God hath scattered the bones of him that encampeth against thee, because thou hast put them to shame, because God hath despised them. Oh, that the salvation of Israel were come out of Zion, when God bringeth back the captivity of his people. Jacob shall rejoice, and Israel shall be glad. Psalm 54, to the chief musician on Neginoth, Maskil, a psalm of David, when the Ziphims came and said to Saul, doth not David hide himself with us? Save me, O God, by thy name, and judge me by thy strength. Hear my prayer, O God, give ear to the words of my mouth. For strangers are risen up against me, and oppressors seek after my soul. They have not set God before them. Selah. Behold, God is mine helper. The Lord is with them that uphold my soul. He shall reward evil unto mine enemies. Cut them off in thy truth. I will freely sacrifice unto thee. I will praise thy name, O Lord, for it is good. For he hath delivered me out of all trouble, and mine eye hath seen his desire upon mine enemies. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. So in two of these three psalms, we have some historical referencing going on that help us with the interpretation of the psalm itself. Now, we're talking about 1 Samuel chapter 22, verses 9 and following, when we think upon what's going on with Doeg. Okay? Now, we also understand in that passage, let's try to remember it together, that David himself was not blameless in that passage. Remember that he was fleeing from Saul. He went to the priest, Abiathar, and he told him a lie. He told him he was on an errand from Saul. He asked if the young men could eat something. He gave them the showbread to eat. And then he also asked, do you have any swords handy? And he gave him Goliath's sword. And then he went on his way. Shortly thereafter, then, Saul is looking for David, and he's got a number of people around him, and one of them is Doeg the Edomite. And so David says, I'm sorry, Saul says, "Is there nobody in my whole company here that can tell me where I can find David? Where's he gone? Where's my intel? I don't have any intelligence in my army. What's going on here?" Right? Essentially, bringing it up to date. And so Doeg says, "Well, I saw him go to the high priest, Abiathar." And so that's when they go down and they pick up Abiathar. And, there's a very bloodthirsty scene that follows that, where Saul finally says, "Well, you're going to die because you helped my enemy David." And the high priest testifies, "Who's more faithful in all your kingdom than David?" And he goes on to tell him, all of that. And so Saul says to one of his young men, "Fall on him with the sword." Because he was a priest, he wouldn't do it. Doeg said, "I will do it." And so Doeg draws his sword and doesn't stop with the priest, but slays 85 men that wear the linen ephod. Now, with that as a background, and I took you down that path for a particular reason. Because notice that Doeg in this psalm is not condemned for his bloodthirstiness. What is he condemned for? What does it say in the opening line? "Why boastest thou thyself in mischief, O mighty man? The goodness of God endureth continually. Thy tongue deviseth mischiefs like a sharp razor working deceitfully. Thou lovest evil more than good, and lying rather than to speak righteousness, Salah. Thou lovest all devouring words, O thou deceitful tongue." Not really a word of Doeg's bloodthirsty slaughter of 85 that wear the linen ephod, but rather the genesis of that event when Doeg opened his mouth when he shouldn't have and said, "I know where David is." What does that teach us? It teaches us that sometimes we let things out with our mouths that bind us up to greater sins later. This is an important principle. That sometimes we say things, we don't want to go back on them, so we insist, we stand our ground, and we end up adding sin to sin. Most of you will remember the story about Herod and John the Baptist. He had made an oath. "I can't go back on my oath." We will also remember the upright Jephthah, who made a rash vow, and in making a rash vow, in my opinion, did not occasion the human sacrifice of his daughter. That's just silly interpretation. But rather, he cut off his name in Israel. There was no other heir for the family of Jephthah. And that, indeed, was punishment enough. So, there are times, then, when we utter things with our lips that end up being very costly later, in that we stand our ground and add sin to sin. Sometimes that which goes forth from our mouth ends up costing in greater sin later. And so what is the takeaway from that? Learn to speak very modestly. Learn to speak with much temperance in your speech. You might say, "Well, Doeg didn't tell a lie, yet he's called a liar here." That's because the sin of violating the ninth commandment can be done by speaking the truth unseasonably. Doeg never should have given up David's position. And David, for his part, notice, rather than seeking to blame everyone else, when finally Abiathar's son comes to David, says, "You stay with me, I will protect you. I knew that the day that Doeg was there and he saw us that he would rat us out. I have occasioned the death of these men." And so notice that David took what his responsible part was as proper guilt. David didn't say, "I've killed them." That would have been silly. And sometimes It seems like in our society we're unable to make those distinctions. David did make that distinction. I have occasioned, right? I have facilitated that, and I'm guilty for that. But it was Doeg that drew his sword. It was Doeg who started that process with all devouring words at the beginning. So what do we learn then from Psalm 52? We learn how that we ought to, number one, draw back our speech. Not be so quick in our speech. What does James say? That we should be swift to hear, slow to speak. Or as one common saying goes, you have two ears and one mouth, make sure you use them in proportion. Right? Well, that's good counsel. So that's the first part. But then notice in verses 5 and 6, there is the judgment of the wicked. Those who love those all-devouring words, who use their tongues against heaven and against righteousness. God shall likewise destroy thee forever. He shall take thee away and pluck thee out of thy dwelling place, root thee out of the land of the living. The righteous shall also see and fear and shall laugh at him. Now, it's hard to know that whether this laughing is a laughing of relief and joy because the Lord has brought the wicked to nothing. I don't think it's a taunting. I don't think that's what we see. And so the translation of laugh at him may not be as accurate a translation for 21st century speakers as we would want it to be. I think it has more to do with that there will be a rejoicing among the people of God when the lying lips are brought down. And the Lord promises to do that. Okay, they shall say, this is the man that made not God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and strengthened himself in his wickedness. Now then, verses 8 and 9, I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. That is fruitful in the house of God. And I trust in the mercy of God forever. Okay, we'll have to move on for the sake of time. Let's go to Psalm 53. To the chief musician upon Mahalat. Mahalat means sickness, weakness, disease, something like that. And so Mahalat may refer to the subject of the psalm itself. It's only used twice in the Psalter. It's used here, 53, and then again in Psalm 88. And you'll remember that Psalm 88 is unique. It's distinct among all of the psalms. In that while the Psalms often begin with some regret, remorse, sorrow for sin, sorrow for judgments, penitent Psalms, if you will, they normally turn around by the end, right? Ordinarily, the Psalms resolve that there is a blessing, whereas it begins with difficulty, it ends with blessing, but Psalm 88 does not do that. It's unique in the Psalter in that it doesn't do that. So that also shares the title Mahalat, weakness, difficulty, sin, and so on. And notice that my own interpretation of that is that all humanity is infected with what this psalm talks about. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. So it is a regretful thing. It is a sign of our race's corruption and weakness. We all come from the womb as practical atheists. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Notice that the Lord knows the contents of our hearts. Right? So then, this passage coupled with, turn my page in my notes here. Coupled with Psalm 14 are used in the third chapter of Romans to speak about the depravity of mankind. So notice the universality of the statements. There is none that doeth good. God looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand, that did seek God. Every one of them has gone back. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Have the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as bread. It's an interesting thing to think about as you meditate through this psalm, that there is a differentiation made. There are those who are called the children of men, and then those who are called my people. The Lord says, my people, right? They eat up my people as bread. So while it may be truly said that we all come into this world as enemies of God, many of us do not remain as enemies of God. Many of us are made the friends of God through covenant, through the Lord drawing us and making us his own. And so may I say it this way, that you know, when it says God looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand, it is possible that that children of men is being used in the same context that it is in Genesis chapter 6, right? That the sons of God looked upon the daughters of men, that they were fair. So God looks down upon unregenerated humanity. And what does he see? Complete corruption. There's nothing in mankind to draw him to the Lord, except the Lord should give him a new heart. And so there is a differentiation here between the children of men and the ones whom God defends that are spoken of in verses 4 and 5, and those are those that are the people of God. They eat up my people as they eat bread. They have not called on God. All right, so then verse 5, there were they in great fear where no fear was, for God hath scattered the bones of him that encampeth against thee. We have no reason then to be afraid of the wicked that would rise up against us, because God encamps against them. Right? We should not be in that great fear, because there is truly no fear there, because God has scattered the bones of him that encamp against thee, the people of God. Thou hast put them to shame because God has despised them. Then finally, we note that this people of God, the salvation, this being delivered from the enemy of God and the people of God, is centered in and around Zion. Oh, that salvation of Israel were come out of Zion. All right, now Psalm 54, another historical reference. First of all, it's on Neginoth, probably a tune or maybe an instrument. It's called a maskil, right, which means a wisdom psalm. And it's a psalm of David when the Ziphims came and said to Saul, doth not David hide himself with us? So notice two different perspectives of the same kind of difficulty. First of all, you have the all-devouring words of Doeg in Psalm 52. Then in Psalm 54, you have the Ziphims who ratted out David. But notice that you have it now from David's perspective here. And so, save me, O God, by thy great name. And so it's a different perspective of the same kind of problem when we are affronted by the unrighteous, when the wicked call us out, bring us under difficulty for our faith in Christ. And I hope you note that that's what the center psalm was about. So between these two psalms, sandwiched in between them, are this understanding then that there are going to be a people that rise up against the Lord's people, right? So that's the context for all three of the psalms when considered together. All right, so strangers are risen up against me, oppressors seek after my soul, they have not set God before them, Selah. And then notice these confident assertions on David's behalf. Behold, God is my helper, the Lord is with them that uphold my soul. He shall reward evil unto mine enemies, cut them off in thy truth. I will freely sacrifice unto thee. So we have those statements of hope and trust in the Lord, and then we have those expressions of worship that David brings, of sacrifice and praise unto the name of the Lord, for he hath delivered me out of all my trouble. Well, that's pretty self-explanatory. All right, well, let's stand and call upon the Lord in prayer.